Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 054. Yeah, this is Big Caffeination 54. We'd like to welcome everybody who's been listening for a long time. Hello, hi, thanks for coming back. We'd like to say hello to all of our new listeners. We have a great show lined up for everybody today. As always, we're going to be covering the high-octane world of tunes and tech, coffee, and all things caffeine here on the Caffeination. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's kind of a social podcasting site, or a social networking podcast site, so it's pretty cool. Head on over there and check it out. All right, kind of a rundown of what to expect on today's show. Little bit of an apology right up front. For those of you who downloaded the last episode as soon as it was posted, you were treated to a lovely little soundbite in the middle of a first song that described a rather profane action, shall we say. Since this is supposed to be a clean show, and we're trying to our best to do that, we decided to listen to the music fully today as opposed to just doing the normal 60 or 70% of the song, and then we'd post it. So, usually... results have been, if you didn't say a curse word and probably the first half of the song, that we were usually pretty good. Well, now they had a little discussion at the end of that song. So, yes, as Tim Graham would say, my very good friend Tim Graham, who emailed me about this because he missed the episode. Yes, that was a collector's item. So, for all of you who have that episode, some odd 65 of you who have that episode, then cherish it well. If we offended anybody, we're greatly sorry. Everybody seemed to have a lot of fun at my expense, because if you're on our mailing list, and if you're not, you can shoot us an email at caffeination@gmail.com, and we gladly add you. But I sent out an apology and explanation, then I reposted the audio about it. But, yeah, a lot of people were like, oh my god, how dare you do that? And then they'd flip out for about three or four sentences, and then they'd break it down and say, dude, there was nothing wrong with it. I was a little surprised, but hey, all's fair, you know what I mean? So, thank you to everybody out there who took it with a grain of salt. And for all the people who were truly offended, I'm pretty sure you're not actually listening to this episode, so, yeah, we should give you... Sorry about that. That was the microphone getting hit. But we should give us another shot if you... but then again, you're probably not going to hear this because you're not listening to the episode. All right. This has been an exhausting weekend. We had to cram everything we normally do in one weekend into the Saturday portion because we were heading out for an all-day childbirthing class. It was an extravaganza of fetal positions and everything else imaginable. So we're getting closer and closer to baby day, so you're going to have to bear with us here at the Caffeination, as the schedule might vary slightly the closer we get to it. But, yeah. So we're just trying to add a little normality. But tonight also starts off football season, so for everybody who's in the Philadelphia area, you haven't started watching football yet, because at 8 o'clock tonight... Sunday, that is, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be playing the Oakland Raiders, so that's where I will be, hence the episode being recorded slightly earlier yet again. But we're trying to avoid any kind of problems like we had last time, so unlike Frank Zappa and his instrumental album, which was deemed explicit, this next song, which is also an instrumental, is not deemed explicit. It's just a fun little song, and I figured what better way to lead off the episode after that kind of gaffe then throw up an instrumental thing, because it's kind of hard to do that, you know, have very offending notes maybe. Maybe you don't like B flat? I don't know. So first up from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have a song from Smiling Cynic and his E-Day Stomp. So let us know what you think of that one.
Oh,
King Cynic and his song E-Day Stomp had kind of an older Aerosmith vibe to it a little bit. There's a song called Cramwit Ham from Aerosmith way back in the day. It had the other three members of Aerosmith, as opposed to just Joe Perry and Steven Tyler doing the lead. They weren't in this song at all. It was Joey Kramer, Brad Whitford, and Tom Hamilton, who make up the rest of the band, who got together and, you know, an amalgamation of their three names and had just a really great rockin' bluesy kind of sounding song. So that's what that song reminded me of, and I just like, you know what, that'd be a good one to lead off the day with, so we're gonna try that. It's been kind of a crazy day here, not just a crazy weekend, but yeah, so we got up right around the time we would normally go to work, and headed on over to the hospital. We had a whole day long class for, you know, childbirth techniques and different things like that. So, you know, just so we could know what we were walking into, because neither of us have ever been through this before, so we wanted to kind of, you know, forewarned is forearmed kind of thing. So hopefully everything will go all right. I think we have around 6 weeks left until the baby is here, the we, as we call it. So we'll see exactly how everything goes. I'll probably put an announcement on the podcast for anybody who really cares. But, yeah, so when we got home, decided to lay on the floor to play with the cats a little bit, and the wife was reading a book, and it was amazing. I was out like a light, and I don't even know how long. It was really quick. About an hour and a half later, I wake up, and one of the cats walks across my throat. So if I seem unusually chipper today, that's why, because I had a little bit of a power nap this afternoon. So, yeah, trying to get the show done and out and clean this time to see exactly how everything goes. For an explanation of exactly why I want the show to be clean and everything, you can head on over to my blog at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. There's a link up in the show notes. If you're listening to this podcast over on the Tech Podcast Network stream, then you can find it at caffination.com. www.caffeination.com. As always, we accept all kinds of listener feedback and everything at caffeination@gmail.com. So, yeah, let's get on to the tech tidbit section here today. I forgot to do this last time, even though it was in the show notes, and I don't remember if I said it in the show, but please, if you'd like to receive the show notes in your email, just send us an email at caffeination@gmail.com, and we will gladly add you to the list. It's a good way to get all the show announcements. We don't sell your information. In fact, there's no actual robot or anything handling the list. It's just me putting everybody into a giant BCC field, so you can take that as you want it, so... We encourage people to do that, so that way we can make sure to tell you when there's a screw-up like last time. One last thing we'd also like to ask people to do, but over on caffeination.com, we have a little survey down there on the right-hand side. If you see it, it says Take 5. We just ask that any listeners who can, and to those of you who've already filled it out, thank you very much. But anybody who can, could you just fill out that survey in there to the best of your ability? It kind of helps us... organize this podcast a little bit better, helps us pick up sponsors and advertisers for it, which hopefully we're going to be rolling out in the near future, but should take away some of the financial burden for doing the podcast. Should be kind of interesting too. Hopefully we'll be able to demo and throw out some nice new products for you, and have a little bit of a different kind of relationship going on with the rest of the tech community. So far I've just been kind of a regurgitator of news, shall we say, and hope to move on to a primary source of information. So, all right, I know I talked about this on the last, or meant to talk about this on the last show, but an update on my phone. I'd like to thank one of our listeners, who I can't remember his name right off the top of my head at this point, but he sent in a whole bunch of links for me to work on my new Razer, and I'm really going to get to doing it this week, but yeah, so far, so good. The signal strength is great. I was talking to one of my friends last night, and he said, oh, yeah, he's like, that's a really nice phone. So I started telling him, I was like, oh, yeah, it has a camera, and he's like, no, I don't care. Can I dial it? How's the signal strength, and how long does the battery last? In all three of those things, it lasts pretty good. With moderate talking, it lasts 3 to 4 days on one charge, so you can't ask for much more than that. I would actually be kind of happy if it didn't have the camera. I mean, the camera's nice. It's a gadget, you know what I mean? It's a nicety, but it's not a necessity. So, but I'm wondering if maybe the battery life would be a little bit better if it didn't have the camera, but who knows. So we'll see exactly how that goes, but so far so good with the Motorola Razr VCM, or V3CM, I don't know. Interesting little thing, so we'll see exactly how that goes. And on to the rest of our stories here in the Tech Tidbit section. Security in the now. Microsoft took their fight directly to the enemy, supposedly. There's a Black Hat security conference, and for those of you who don't know, hackers traditionally have kind of gone with the Old West kind of thing. The white hats are the people who supposedly work for the law, the black hats are supposedly the people who try and hack into systems, and then there's been other colors of hats that come up various points in time to illustrate different properties. Like Microsoft, for instance, sponsors something called the Blue Hat Convention because they consider themselves, I guess, blue? It's the color of the screen of death? I don't know. It's basically they invite hackers to come in and try and break their operating system. So what they did was they actually presented this time the way that Vista code is written. Now, I've been in on one of these seminars when Microsoft came to the university I work at and gave us a little security briefing on it. And it's fascinating the new way that they're developing the code. So I can understand how these hackers would find this, you know, useful. But the funny thing is, and this is the next story, they still got burned with the whole thing, because in the room directly next to their talk, there was a hacker who had used an early beta release of Vista and had broken it, and had hacked in and gained administrative access. But the only caveat to her her way in was that you had to be running administrator-level privileges to start off with, so you had to be logged in as an admin, rather, in order to perform her specific hack. So this in and of itself is an interesting thing, because in the new version of Vista, they have a user access level control kind of system put out there. What they do is they have, you know, you don't need to be running as an admin if you're just sitting there playing around with Word. You don't need to be running as an admin if you're browsing the internet. In fact, you shouldn't be logged in as an admin user if you're browsing the internet. But there's just simple things that you usually need to be able to do that admins are supposed to be able to do, like install a plugin for a browser. As long as the plugin doesn't talk to anything else, you shouldn't need to be an admin. Alright, so now they're like, okay, yeah. So They premiered the whole thing to the organization of hackers, and by and large, everybody over there was seemed to be relatively impressed with Microsoft's new take on security. So we'll see how far that goes and how much more secure this version of Windows is than the last. So no reviews in yet of the beta that they handed out to these hackers. And this wasn't specifically designed for this contest, or this conference, rather. It was actually just like their latest stable release. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how far this newfound integration into the hacker community Microsoft takes their security challenge. So also a new little clip there. It says basically you have to be aware of what wireless network you're connecting to. Now, I know a lot of people in residential areas, they'll just connect to anybody who has an open Wi-Fi connection. Or if you're walking through the city and you notice somebody has Wi-Fi open, you might get in there and, you know, poke around, shall we say. I mean, I've been guilty of doing the same thing, especially if you're moving into an apartment or a house and like, oh man, I don't have internet for the next 4 days. Well, there's a new hack out, basically, and the way that this was demonstrated was actually on one of the brand new MacBook Pros, but you can gain full administrative rights on a machine through a Wi-Fi hack. Now, I have the whole news story linked up on from CNET News. Actually, all of the stories we've been talking about so far are from CNET News. So you should really take a gander at that article. What they do is they discuss a lot of the ways that you can secure your laptop, and more often than not, it's just common sense. If you don't know the person, I mean, they say, you know, stuff like Starbucks Network and things like that, anything you have to pay to access or anything that's run by a corporation or something like that, that's relatively secure. But I don't know if you can hear this, but this boom is all over the place, so I keep getting hit in the face with the microphone. I don't know why. Maybe I'm talking with my hands more today. I don't know. But basically, it's kind of breaks everything down to common sense. If you don't know the person who's running the network, if you don't trust them, then don't do anything on their network that might compromise your machine. So, all right, and the last story here, I was actually really astounded when I found this, and I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but I have linked directly, I have the story directly linked. Basically, this the graphing calculator application that was involved in Mac OS 9, 8, and 9 wasn't originally supposed to be in there. The person who wrote it was a contractor for Apple working on a computer that did not ever see the light of day. So this was a whole new architecture. This wasn't a PowerPC architecture. And after they got canned, they worked with people who were working on the PowerPC version after hours, off the clock, did not get paid for it, brought in all kinds of company resources, broke in using their own security badges that were never deactivated and never taken away, and worked for almost 6 months with varying levels of customer access, and finally got the application that they were working on included into a distribution of Apple software. So if you want to read the whole story, and I really heartily recommend this, this is insanity. They wanted to basically rewrite this entire graphing calculator application, and it was included in the boxed version of OS 9 for Macs. And they tried to do the same thing for Microsoft, but Microsoft apparently had better security and wouldn't let them in the door. So it's an interesting story. It's probably around three printed pages long, but it is a fascinating story exactly how corporate culture functions as a security aspect of things, you know, physical security, and how much apathy plays a role in a lot of the social engineering hacks that are out there. All right, something not so serious, but still kind of interesting. If you have any relatives that are still on AOL and they're like, oh no, I can't switch to broadband, I don't want to pay the extra fee for AOL. Well, now everybody who has broadband can get an AOL email address for free. In fact, there's some services that will let you transfer your existing AOL email address to just AOL's web service. So you can go with Comcast, Verizon, whoever else you want for your broadband service, and just have a free AOL email account. Now, this is interesting for a couple ways. Like, I never really liked AOL. I always thought of it as the internet for babies, and I actually kind of refused to let my family use it. So we were on dial-up, just straight dial-up, for years without being attached to any kind of network. But, yeah. So you can head on over to the story we have there. And, kind of interesting. All right, now this one, after all the good that Apple does, but they kind of screwed up. This is a business-related article, but Apple apparently was misreporting some of their earnings. There's a whole bunch of hinky financial data that was floating around, and they had to take back all of their earnings reports that were filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission from the current report, which they're not releasing at all the way back to September 29th, 2002. There's some speculation as to whether or not this might actually cost Steve Jobs his job, but what the nuts and bolts of this is basically people who had stock options with the company, when they were given the stock options are supposed to be given at current market value. Or if they're not, if people are allowed to purchase stock at a previous price, like much cheaper price, then it's supposed to be reported. What they were doing is they were letting people backdate the purchases. I don't even know how far they were allowed to backdate the purchases. It's not an illegal practice to do that, but you have to say that you're doing it on your financial statements because it changes a whole bunch of taxes that are collected. It changes a whole bunch of monies that were not actually spent on the company, and basically it throws the whole financial picture of Apple from now back to 2002 into a huge uproar. So right now there's a third party investigation into it. Apple actually came forward with the mistake on their own, so I guess that's going to look a little bit better in the eyes of everybody, but still, that's going to be definitely something to watch, and I wonder if they're actually going to touch on it tomorrow. Probably not. For those of you who don't know, tomorrow is the Worldwide Developers Conference for Apple. So head on over to apple.com at the end of the day to see exactly what they announced. Or you can probably watch the keynote address at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So I think that's 10 a.m. Pacific. But yeah, you can watch Jobs or whoever else. I think Jobs is giving it again. I don't think that he wouldn't. But you can watch their keynote address, because that's usually where some of the cool products come out. And I'm sorry about that. But there's speculation yet again that they're going to have an Apple mobile phone, a la iTunes, kind of iPod simplistic architecture kind of thing. That would be nice to see. Kind of need that every now and then. So all right. Oh yes, and also in the musical update, Microsoft's challenge to Apple in the Zune or Zune, the portable media player that they're throwing out there, has a couple of problems. First off, it's not going to have any kind of video, so already it's not a challenger to the iPod directly, but what they're trying to do is make it the best audio player they can, because they said the iPod's actually a rather poor video player. I kind of agree with this. I mean, my wife has an iPod video, and you know what? I could never watch a TV show on it. I like the idea that you can download TV shows and watch them on your computer. That's nice. I've watched some of the music videos on the computer, but the quality stinks when you're viewing them on a large screen. And frankly, I don't feel like squinting when I'm watching Lost. You know what I mean? So, I mean, how are you supposed to see the hundreds of little tiny clues that are all over Lost if it's that tiny? It's like 2.5 inches wide. So, all right. Onward to the latest in the exploding notebook fiasco. Well, originally we said there was Dell. So I have 1, 2, 3, and 4 links to pictures and articles about Dell explosions, Dell laptop explosions. Now, the last one's the one I really wanted to talk about, because this is the most damage that one of these laptops had caused. Basically, a bunch of guys going on a fishing trip threw one of their laptops in the back of the pickup truck, a whole bunch of ammo cases, and drove off. Now, it's a 1966 pickup truck, but there's not much left of it at this point. Apparently, the battery exploded, setting off the ammo that was in the ammo cans, and completely torched the entire truck. Now, they don't know yet if this was one of the laptops that had been involved in the Dell recall, but we figured, here at the Caffeination, we like to provide a level of service. So if you look in our show notes, there's actually a link directly to the Dell recall page, so that you can check to see if your laptop's one of the ones infected. And then the and you can also browse through the pictures there, some of the other ones. The one where it says original, it actually shows you the laptop as it's exploding at a conference in Tokyo, I believe. It's somewhere in Asia right now. Can't remember. Let me actually just check. But it's impressive. It's a huge, huge fireball. All right, it doesn't say exactly where it is. But it was like, oh, man. And they have, I think, 3 different pictures on that site about it. But it just, like, lit up. There was no warning or anything. Well, Dells are not the only laptops that are affected by this. Apparently, some Apples are as well. So I have 2 links up there to 2 versions of the Apple laptop. Now, both of these may have actually been involved in the battery recall, so please, please, please check your serial number. And again, we have the link for Apple's battery recall up on our site, so please check it out at caffination.com, caffination.com. But the first one that I have linked up there, the newest one that I saw, is really bad. Apparently the laptop was turned off at the time, so it doesn't even have to be on. But the battery went off like an M80, blew a hole through the bottom of the laptop, through the top into the screen, and torched the area around the bottom of it. So I'm definitely going to be, since I actually have a PowerBook G4, I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And then the other link up there is a laptop that was started to catch fire, so the guy threw it in a trash can. The trash can melted, and the keyboard that was the laptop was attached to was completely torched as well, so these are some very real examples of what can go wrong if you don't pay attention to the recalls for the products that you have. But And they really couldn't come at a worse time, because that car that we demoed, or that we showcased last time on the podcast, the Tesla Roadster, is powered completely by lithium-ion batteries. So let's hope that doesn't have the same thing, because that was just with one battery. Imagine what would happen if you had a whole bunch of them go off. I also was reading a story about why these laptop fires are so dangerous. You cannot smother a lithium-ion battery fire, because as it burns, it creates its own oxygen to keep the fire going. You cannot douse them in water, because if you douse them in water, it spreads the chemicals around and releases much more of a toxic gas that's already emitted. So there's no real way to put these out. Halon fire extinguishers, the kind that they have in like large data centers that replace oxygen completely, don't put these fires out. So your best bet's to kind of just let them burn, which is really horrible. Just throw them somewhere where they're not going to do any damage. But apparently they're hot enough to melt metal. So yeah, something to think about before you take the laptop on a road trip. Make sure you check the recalls. All right, and the final story we have here in the Caffeination today, the tech tidbits section here today, is I am vindicated. There is now a consumer version of a MechWarrior kind of robot, and there's a link up in the video link to a demonstration of it as well. But for around $300,000, you can contract this company in Japan to create you what it's called the Landwalker robot. Apparently, it's a huge Nerf gun. There's like a Gatling gun style thing on the side and a cannon on the other side, but all they do is fire squishy bullets. So I could see this being used for crowd control. That would definitely be terrifying to see a 14-foot tall robot walking towards you. Doesn't look like they have the mechanics down pat yet, because from the video it's kind of looks shaky, almost like you could probably shove it over. But it also sounds like a diesel engine. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's actually what's running the thing, but still. Alright, that about wraps up the Tech Tidbits section here at the Caffeination. On to our TPN info. We'd just like to, one more time, to if you're getting the show in your email, please take some time and click on the link that says Our Survey and fill out our little marketing research kind of survey. It helps us make the podcast just a little bit better for you. We're hoping to try and attract some different advertisers and actually stuff that's interesting to the people who listen to this podcast, because I'm pretty sure the people who listen to this podcast don't want to hear male enhancement ads. In fact, I already kind of categorically denied that I wanted to accept them, but still. You know, basically, if you're listening to a show, it's been proven that you're only going to be interested in the advertising of stuff you're interested in. For instance, most people don't want to hear about feminine hygiene products during a football game. Some females might, but they're not the largest demographic. So what this is doing is helping us kind of cull down towards the products that you might be interested in. We're also listed over at Blueberry, BLUBRRY. We've had a couple new listeners who emailed me, and thank you very much for doing so. Basically, that's a social podcasting site. Everybody who's listed over there wanted to be listed over there. They said, you know, this is an interesting thing. I'd like to be kind of promoted on there. And interesting little site. You can see what kind of shows I listen to and scoot around in there and find a whole bunch of different profiles. If you feel like leaving a comment for our show and you don't want to send me an email, you can head on over to caffeination.com and leave a comment under the show. And just like to send on everybody on over to the podcastawards.com site. And you can check out the other Tech Podcast Network members, the Mike Tech Show in the Science and Technology category, and the Rookie Designer Podcast over in the Education section. So congrats to both of those guys on getting nominated, and good luck. I don't know how much longer voting's going on, so head on over quickly. All right, that just about wraps up the TPN section. And onto a small caffeinated bit section today. We don't have too much to talk about other than the fact that, I don't know, many people probably don't know this, but I worked in a hospital for a little bit of a time and worked in the security division. I was one of the guys who helped calm down unruly patients and, you know, worked in medical emergencies, not as a medical staff, more as kind of like the backbone, the muscle, to help them lift larger patients and stuff like that. It was a very interesting job, but one thing I found is coffee in these kind of hospitals is some of the best coffee that I've ever had. Not just the coffee that they make at the nurse's station, which is usually pretty good. ER coffee is usually the best because those are the people who need it the most a lot of the time. But I've also... There's this one machine that I've seen in every hospital. It's the automated coffee dispenser. It's the thing that you can make hot chocolate, coffee, tea, whatever. You know, dark roast, light roast, and it's completely automated, drops the cup down, creates your special blend of coffee. I really want to buy one of these. I don't know how much they cost, but it just seems to be the perfect little invention. It's like, you know what, today I want to go with a light roast, and a little light cream, extra sweetener, and yeah, make it a large. And it's just for like, I don't know, maybe 70 cents, you can get a damn fine cup of coffee. It's wonderfully created, and I just love these things. And, alright, next up here is, I have it listed as flame out the end of the line. Now, I just cannot stand, every once in a while, where I just kind of hit the wall. It's like you keep yourself so caffeinated so often that, you know, you're like running around all the time. You're running on maybe 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And then finally you just hit that brick wall when you're like, you know what, you should have taken better care of your body up until this point, and you kind of just crash and crash hard. I think that was today, and it's probably going to be a little bit later on tonight, so I'm probably not going to see much more past the first quarter of the game later on tonight, but still, kind of interesting. So I'd like to hear your stories if you're one of the people who... you know what I'm talking about. You just hit that wall, you hit your end of your rope, and there's nothing you can do but sleep it off. And then you start the cycle all back over again. But still. Yeah, had a minor episode. The worst time I ever flamed out was during finals. And I must have been going on like 2 hours of sleep for about 3 weeks straight, you know, writing paper after paper. I was one of those people who took philosophy courses in college, and one of my professors was famous for giving you a whole lot of papers, but no due dates. Everything was due at the end of the semester. So if you were intelligent, which I probably wasn't, what you would do is you would write them periodically throughout the semester. So we had 14 three-page summaries of chapters in a book, and then we had 3 5-page papers. So, of course, I wait until the last week and a half of the class to do them all. So I was running hard. I mean, I was going about a pot and a half of coffee a night, not even, you know, counting the days that I needed the coffee to stay up. A pot and a half of coffee a night to do these papers. And after about, like, the 13-day mark, I had, like, 4 papers left. I passed out in my chair with the computer on and my hands on the keyboard. I woke up 9 hours later, had missed 2 classes, and I hadn't moved a muscle. I was just kind of laying back in my chair. And my mom saw the light on, so this was back when I was living at home. My mom saw the light on and never came in to see if I was all right. She's like, I heard the computer, I saw the light on. I had just passed right out. So I'm kind of trying to listen to my body a little bit more as I get older, so I'd like to hear any of your flame-out stories, how hard and how long you crashed. So just kind of give the rest of the information for the Caffeination Podcast here. You can email us at caffeination@gmail.com. You can find our website over at www.caffeination.com. Our MySpace is over at myspace.com/caffeination, and my personal weblog is over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. That just about wraps it up here for today. We have one more song from the PodSafe Music Network. This is a great artist who contacted us through MySpace. You can find her music over at myspace.com/etherealvox. And here we have Ethereal with her song One Cigarette. Thanks for contacting us, Ethereal, and here's your song.
Seemed to me in the light. something gripping you. A primal instinct you repress, and there's nothing I can do. I don't know what to tell you, dear, you never called.
Never called.
I don't know how to help you, love, against the wall.
Against the wall.
You're running out of time, it's not so clear, you see. And the tie around your neck is a noose and matrimony. In the light of one cigarette, you said you hadn't figured it yet. So I laid my heart on the line, but I didn't get there in time. In the light of one cigarette, you said you hadn't figured it yet. So I laid my heart on the line, but I didn't get there in time.
And her song One Cigarette. Hopefully all the music this time has been pod safe and clean, but we'd just like to thank everybody for listening to the Caffeination podcast here. Again, if you're listening to this podcast on the stream over at techpodcast.com, you can find it at www.caffination.com. This is Paul from the Caffeination podcast saying thanks for listening and stay caffeinated, people.